This podcast is part of the Deluxe Edition Network. To find other great shows on the network, head over to deluxeeditionnetwork.com. That's deluxeeditionnetwork.com.
Tom Brady and the Patriots have achieved.
Hold on. Hold. Phone. Get it going. What? I didn't hear this one. Say it again.
Because if you have listened to everyone on talk radio and ESPN in the last 3 weeks, we'll say, everyone is doing the comparison of Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady.
Of course.
You know, script has been leaked. We know that they want the Chiefs to win because they want to back Patrick Mahomes to essentially erase everything that Tom Brady has achieved and want Andy Rice to...
Andy Reid.
Why did I say Rice? I need
hungry.
More... Oh, yeah, I am hungry.
Yeah.
Fried rice.
Yeah. PFR in your belly. Little pork fried rice. Kowloons. Shout out to Bill Lee. Nope. Bobby Lee. Nope.
Bobby Lee.
Shout out to Bobby Lee from Bad Friends.
Shout out to Bobby Lee from Bad Friends for sure.
Yeah.
Who I am the most relatable to.
Bill Wong. Oh, Bill Wong.
Bill Wong. Yes, Wong. Wong yeah. is one of the brothers is our rep, state
Shout
rep.
Shout out to the Wong family from Kowloons.
Holla.
If you're on the North Shore, go up Route 1.
Hit up the loon. Get
hit
some Mai Tais. And get some Mai Tais at 2 a.m. and try to count to 10. It's hilarious.
Not going to happen.
No, you get to like 6 maybe if you're a pro.
That shit's pre-batch. That is all gas.
Yeah. It,
yeah. So the NFL wants to eliminate all of Tom Brady's records.
And everything that Bill Belichick has on the records.
Is that why Bill Belichick doesn't have a job yet?
Most likely. And anything that the Patriots had done. Did you notice when they were presenting the trophy that they said, because of course this is very Roger Goodell-like, he handed the trophy and he was like, no other team has gone back-to-back in 18 years. Rather than saying no other team has gone back to back since the Patriots.
Right.
So that was for me, that was like ding, ding, ding. There it is.
Yeah.
That just shows that the NFL is wanting to eliminate everything
right.
that the Patriots, Bill Belichick and Tom Brady had done during their legacy.
That's a good one. Wow. Yeah. Well, that's something right there.
And I mean, it's really heartbreaking because the better quarterback did not win.
No, absolutely not.
Brock Purdy had one hell of a game.
Yeah.
And their missed opportunity, I don't blame him. I blame their offensive coordinator for not running CMC through, what was it, the third quarter? They didn't run McCaffrey. So that was working. Through the first half beautifully. You owned the first half and they came out and they just didn't follow the same trajectory that they were on. And then in the fourth, they started doing it again. And overtime, they just ran McCaffrey until he had like nothing left to give. But it was an unfortunate ending to a game.
Yeah. And I did text you last night saying that I bet the house on the Super Bowl. So shout out to FanDuel, who now owns my house. So Sarah, I'll be sleeping on your couch like you already suggested that I do. So thanks for that. I'll sleep with the
okay.
dogs.
Well, the dogs sleep with us. So if you want to sleep with the dogs, you and Derek can cuddle up with the dogs.
Well, spooning leads to forking, so you know? Looks like me and Derek are gonna start a family. That's great.
Ew.
Yeah.
That's visual.
Oh, wait, I can't say his name because I'm going to keep this.
No, you can do whatever. We're here now. I slipped up. Well,
you
who cares?
Did it.
I don't
your
give a
fault.
fuck.
So now everybody knows who you married to.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I'm
so
sure
sad.
I've said his name before.
Nope. In almost 100 episodes that we've done, you've never mentioned your husband's name.
Listen,
Cross that off your bingo.
You had texted me this morning and were like 9, and I was like, oh, fuck.
Mm-hmm.
I need to get up. And here is my cup of coffee to start the day. So
nice.
Eyes only running.
What's on that mug? Is that a dumpster fire?
Oh, it's a little typewriter that has butterflies and says, I love you. And on the inside of them, it says, I love you. The dumbest mug my husband ever gave me.
Well, it's perfect for this episode because this is the Valentine's Day show. So, of course, we're introing the show a little different because we pre-recorded with Don Brody from Hilf on the show this week. We do have Don Brody from Hilf, which was an amazing interview. We had a lot of fun. We played Marry, Fuck, Kill with Don, and you'll be hearing that in a little bit. But first, we're going to get into a little bit of Super Bowl madness, and then we got a big pickle that I don't agree with. And then we'll get into the Don show. It was a different kind of week. So
it was a weird week, and when we get into the big pickle, I'll go into why I chose it as the big pickle.
Okay.
And then,
all right, maybe you've got more info than I do. So I don't know.
I was back and forth on it to go on to a different thing. The other person I was going to put as a big pickle, there wasn't enough information provided yet because there's too much investigation that they couldn't even give anything. It would just be like,
are we going to save it for another show, or
it will end up being another show? Yeah.
Oh.
The dude from the Ravens.
That's So Raven with,
That's So Raven.
What? Raven with Simone. Thank
Simone,
you.
Simone Moon Fry.
Soleil, no, that's Moon Punky Fry. Brewster. You're thinking of Punky Brewster. You're thinking about the time Cherry got locked in the fridge when we were playing hide and go seek.
All comes full circle, baby. All comes full circle.
Yeah. R.I.P. to Cherry.
Zay Flowers from the...
Oh, what did he do?
He had an alleged domestic assault, but there's a whole lot of weird crap about around that. So there's a few investigations.
That's water under the fridge. That's
the fridge where Cherry is.
Yeah.
All right.
Right around the circle. That's right. Yeah. So all right. So the Super Bowl, very would you say lackluster or exciting?
Lackluster.
Yeah. I guess it was. If you bet the under, you won. The over was 46.5.
It was
46.
So low scoring.
So overtime, second overtime game in Super Bowl history. The first, of course, being the Patriots against the Atlanta Falcons. I remember the 28-3 game. One of the greater Super Bowls out there that will eventually, I guess, be erased from existence. So now it looks like if your theory is correct, if you strap your tinfoil hat on tight, that means next year the Chiefs will win the Super Bowl, so they'll be the first team to three-peat. Well, okay.
Yep.
I can get behind that.
Yep. It all tracks. I mean, look at it. You have the Chiefs were very inconsistent coming out the gate this season.
Yeah.
Everyone was like, this is not the same team. This is not the same team, blah, blah, blah. They counted them out. And then as the season went on, they were like, oh, look at them. And then T-Swift came in.
Mm-hmm.
And all the Swifties got on board and were like, we need Taylor's boyfriend's team to win. Yay.
Right.
So that like amplified viewership, amplified dollars, amplified all of this. Then you look at the fact that this game, not only is it the same matchup as 2020 and the world is about to shut down again, here we are.
Yeah.
But you look at this game, And yeah, it is the second overtime game in history.
Yeah.
And what was the other game? Patriots. So
yeah.
Now when you look at history, the first thing that's going to come up and you search overtime, like Super Bowl NFL history or whatever, overtime. Yeah, I said overtime. Yeah, here I am. The first thing that's going to come up is the Kansas City Chiefs. And
right.
then under right. it will be the Patriots.
Yeah.
So it's just starting to erase Patriots history.
It's getting there. It's getting there.
And you know what? Tom Brady's coming out of retirement.
Patrick Mahomes now has three rings or four? Three.
Three.
Three. Yeah. So he's got a little catching up to do.
It's 3 and 5 years.
Yeah. Which they'll totally blow that out of proportion.
Yep.
You know?
He's so much better than Tom Brady. I just don't. This win was very much like Groundhog Day.
Mm-hmm.
If the 49ers won, you would have had 6 weeks of talking about Brock Purdy and his future and his career and that 49ers defense and, you know, a lot of great things that that team had done. And
right.
I was ready for that because I feel as though that team really deserves to have conversations.
Right.
However, Kansas City won. So we're going to hear 6 weeks of Patrick Mahomes being the GOAT, Patrick
right.
Mahomes versus this quarterback, Patrick Mahomes, this and that, Andy Reid, the coach, blah, blah, blah. Like, we're going to hear this for 6 weeks now. So,
yeah. And it's the Chiefs. It's I know it's so cliche, but the Chiefs didn't win that game. The 49ers lost that
the
game.
The 49ers lost that game.
Yeah.
And that's what's so disheartening is that they lost. And they played so hard.
Yeah.
And that blocked field goal ripped my heart out. I was like, I'm going to throw up right when
yeah.
that
it was
when
the
they
blocked
blocked
field
it.
goal and then the fumble.
Yeah.
Yeah, that fumble is when the game was like, yeah, that's it.
Took a turn. You know, I think Usher coming out at halftime just fired up everyone on the Kansas City side. And then, like, yeah.
I bet the over
yeah,
on him taking his
yeah.
shirt off and I won.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
That was a given. That was like the easiest bet you could ever have made.
Odds were very, very low.
Do you know that? So when I do, I love me some Usher, you know that.
Mm-hmm.
But when I watch him, I just feel older and older and older, and that my body's decaying at a faster rate than like average people, because he's like a little bit older than us and he's just moving around and he's not.
He's on roller skates and everything.
He's fucking everywhere. And I'm over here like, can I get a ham sandwich?
Right. Yeah. Ludacris looked great.
Yeah.
Little Jonathan looked great.
Little Jonathan.
Yeah.
Alicia Keys.
Alicia
Can I
Keys.
Get a... Oh, can I get a fucking chef kiss for Alicia Keys? As soon as I started hearing that piano, I was like, shut the fuck up. And then I was just like, there's my girl. A talent. You know she's really... she's married to Swiss Beatz, right?
I do.
Yeah.
I do. Yeah.
Making some talented babies there.
You know it.
Those kids, man. They're
more
gonna
talented
change.
Than Beyonce's kids.
Oh my God. Did you see Blue Ivy? We shouldn't talk shit about kids, but did you see Blue Ivy try to be dancing on some stage?
I have kids, so it's okay to talk shit about kids.
I was like, I always talk shit about kids.
It's fine.
It's like kids' artwork. I'm like, why would I hang this in the fridge? It's terrible.
What is this? It looks like a dick. Get out of here.
No, that I would hang on the fridge.
Yeah. Well, okay. No, I didn't see.
I don't know. There's a clip. I'll have to send it to you.
The fuck is this kid's name? Blue Ivory?
Blue Ivy.
Ivy.
Yeah, because, you know.
Yeah.
I don't, that's.
Well, it's like somebody else's. Michael Jackson. His kids. Blanket and Prince and.
I don't know. I still think Apple is one of the funniest ones. Chris Martin
Apple.
and Gwyneth
Oh, yeah.
Paltrow.
Right.
Yeah, Apple. Forgot about that one, didn't we?
Yeah, Apple. There was also another one. Brandon Lee's got a funny name for a kid. My name is Earl. Is that his name, Brandon Lee? Or am I thinking of Bruce Lee's kid?
That's Bruce Lee's kid.
Well, what's the guy from Chase and Amy? You know who I'm talking about.
I know who
My
you're
name is
talking
Earl.
about, but I can't remember his name. I can see his stupid face right now.
Bobby Lee. Shout out to Bobby Lee from Mad TV.
This is an all Bobby Lee episode.
Nah, this is great.
Bobby,
Bobby Lee, it's Valentine's Day if you're listening. I think you're hilarious. Shout out to Andrew Santino too. He's great too. I love
Oh
that
my
show.
God. That show is gold.
Bad Friends is definitely great. Go out.
I want to be
I don't
friends
want to promote
with
other podcasts, even though that's exactly what you do in a podcast, is promote other people's podcasts. But also, if you haven't heard already, Don Brody from Hilf is on the show today.
I know.
All right, so this episode is already way too long.
We're
so,
way off the rails. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
So let's just do the big pickle, and we'll get right into MFK with Hilf. So, Sarah, who is this week's biggest pickle?
Oh, my God. This week's biggest pickle. Miami Heat's Hayward Highsmith is this week's biggest pickle.
All right. I don't agree, but I understand why. So go ahead. Tell the story.
On his way home after the Miami versus Orlando Magic game around 11:20 p.m., Highsmith had crashed into a man who was trying to help a driver of a disabled vehicle. Highsmith was said to not be under the influence, however, was issued a citation for careless driving doing 45 in a 40 zone.
Okay, so not really speeding.
Not really speeding.
No.
No. The car was disabled in the middle of a dark road with no lights on, and the guy that was hit was helping push the car out of the road. I will say, Highsmith was great in this situation. Like, I mean, the situation, it was an accident. It really
Right.
was. It was an accident, absolutely. He ran out to the car. He was trying to help the guy. A bystander made a tourniquet. He stayed with him and talked to him and tried to give him words of, you know, comfort while they were waiting for the ambulance to take him to the hospital.
Okay, so far I'm not on board with him being the big pickle. Wasn't speeding, not under the influence, helped the driver.
Here's my thing. What was distracting you, sir?
But you have to remember that he was probably driving, listening to some music. I mean, if we're really going to get technical, you know exactly what was distracting him. He was on his cell phone.
He was on his phone. He was texting.
He was doing
absolutely on his phone.
45 in a 40, which isn't crazy.
Right.
Who knows the lighting on the highway or
it
whatever
was a,
road he
it
was
a,
on.
Like a back road.
Okay, so there's no street lights. The car in the middle of the road has no lights. So, I mean, freak accident, yes.
For me, he was definitely texting. And this is a reminder. This is where I think that, and I know, again, this is Florida. So it's not, you know, you kind of have a free for all in Florida. It would probably have been better if he just got out and shot the guy and then just went back in the car and left, but whatever. It definitely, him being cited for reckless driving proves to me that he was a distracted driver,
right?
That he was texting while driving.
Yeah.
And that's why I made him the big pickle, is because if you are down a dark road and you have headlights, and if it's dark that you can't see at least a car or two car lengths in front of you, you need to be driving with your high beams on. That is like the rule of the road,
right?
So that you can see in front of you, so that you can brake at a proper time to not, I don't know, hit a deer, hit a whatever, to fucking, it's also about your life as the operator of the motor vehicle. So what are you doing? You were distracted.
Yeah.
And You could have killed this guy. This guy had to have his leg emergency amputated.
I was just gonna say, what would you rather, honestly, like, what would you rather do? Do you want to be an amputee, or would you rather have just died? I mean,
I mean, I don't.
I know that's a
What
fucking
sucks?
stupidly loaded question, but like,
What's so disheartening is this guy is just trying to be a good Samaritan.
right.
And this is what the outcome
Yeah,
was.
it was
And
like the
it's
absolute wrong place, the absolute wrong time.
right.
No.
But again, it's put your fucking phone down.
No.
Put it down. Like, if it's, I don't care when it is. I see it all the fucking time. I get so annoyed. I'm like, oh, I'm driving down Walnut Street. And Walnut Street here is a semi. It's not like super well lit, but
No.
it's a heavily trafficked street. And constantly cars are coming onto the other side of the road, like head on towards me. And I look over as they finally realize, like, oh shit, there's a car coming towards me.
Right.
They're on their phone constantly. And I'm like, it's 1 and 1A, and I don't want to be super preachy and like to each his own. You want to text and drive? Cool. I don't like whatever. Just stay the fuck away from me.
I
But
wish
it's
I always had this thing where I said to my wife all the time, like, we live on a main road,
Yeah.
and I wish I could just sit outside the front of my house, because you see it all day long.
All
People
day
drive by
long.
with their cell
Yep.
phones in their hand. I just wish you could throw an egg at that car.
Yeah. Something.
Yeah.
Something.
I'm like,
I live
I
on a
you know
main
what?
street too, and
Yeah.
that's what we see. They'll pull out from one of the side streets and they're on their phone as they're pulling out, almost getting T-boned.
Right.
And that it's just like I can't.
And I mean, I'm guilty of it too, but I know well enough that, like, I'm not gonna constantly, like, I'll change what I'm listening to on my phone. Like, I won't, like, sit there and have this
No,
long,
I
drawn
don't.
out conversation.
No. That's why I do voice record now, or I just leave my phone away. Like, I don't even.
Yeah.
Because to me, I don't want to answer anyone's text messages when I'm not driving. I
Yeah,
don't want to
right.
answer anyone's phone calls when I'm not driving. So, like, answering your text message while I'm driving just, I don't know, it doesn't make any sense to
I
me.
barely answer the phone when it rings. It,
Yeah.
it's it's all like I there are certain times where I have to answer it because it might be something for work, whether it
Yeah.
be a delivery or whatever. But like, when I see a name pop up over the screen, I'm like, ah, I'll just wait 15 minutes and then text and be like, oh, sorry, I can't talk. What's up? You
Not
know?
to not today.
Yeah, I just don't want to talk. I don't like talking on the phone.
I just don't like talking in general. I do it all day. I don't want to have to do it when I'm
Well, I
home.
mean, you picked a hell of a career as a podcaster to not want to talk.
Well, no, I'm saying like talking with. Well, yeah,
I talk to
touche.
people all fucking day at work. I
Yeah,
don't want to talk
exactly.
to anybody on the
Same.
phone.
Same.
You
If
know?
you, I don't know. Yeah, it did take a, yeah, I've got nothing.
And now with the bad weather, they're like, oh, how about that weather out there? Fuck your face, dude.
It's
The fuck away from me. It's weather. Yes.
New England.
Fuck, man. Get out of here. Get out
Yeah.
of
So I chose him as the biggest pickle because I
Okay.
feel as though that this could have been prevented.
Well, there's your fucking lesson, folks. Don't text and drive. Put your goddamn fucking phone down before I throw an egg at your car. Okay? I mean, get out of here. What are we doing? What are we doing? What are we
We've had,
doing?
oh, I don't know what we're doing. We've had cell phones for so long now. Like, can
Right.
we just. I saw someone the other day who was on a full-on video chat while driving their car,
Oh
and
my
I'm
God,
like,
I've seen so much where people are
can
making
we?
fucking TikToks while they're
Oh,
driving
thank
and
you.
they're dancing and they're fucking checking their makeup and they're doing their makeup and they're reading. I've seen someone read the fucking newspaper while driving. Like, how the fuck is that possible? How are you
Fucking
doing
do
that?
this? Oh, all right. So
No,
we
I
have
can't
the.
even drive and drive, and you expect me to read
No,
the newspaper and drive?
no. Hey, but you know what, David?
Yes.
The vortex is still open,
Yeah,
so
we're getting sucked right into it. We're all gonna die.
shutdown is coming. We're gonna go back to 2020 2.0.
Yeah.
Less rad.
You heard it here first, everybody. We're gonna, when a new pandemic hits, everyone's gonna be like, holy shit, Dave and Sarah predicted that, and here we are.
So. If you don't want to be horrified, do not Google disease X.
Do it. Do it. Be horrified. Be scared. It's coming. It's coming for you and everyone you love. All right. Speaking of things that we love, Dawn Brody's on the show. So we're going to go slide into that interview with her, and we're going to play a game. We're going to tell stories about three women in sports. Which one would you marry, fuck, or kill? And we're going to make Dawn pick, and we're going to have her sweat, sweat, sweat. So,
hey, it's Sarah, one of the voices of IAP Radio, and I'm here at this moment to talk to you about coffee. Dave and I drink a lot of coffee, and for us, it's an all-day beverage. And if you want to get on our level, do so with Coffee Brothers Coffee. This is a two-person brother team, hence the name, that roasts all their coffee in small batches right out of New York City. Coffee Bros sources seasonal award-winning and specialty coffee, focusing on high-scoring and high-quality blends. They do espresso roasts and single-origin coffees that are all small-batch roasted. You can experience complex taste notes from fragrant to aromatic to bold and rich. So head over to coffeebros.com, that's coffeebros.com, and use the promo code IAPRadio10 for 10% off your purchase. Again, that's coffeebros.com, and use the promo code IAPRadio10 for 10% off your purchase, and drink like Dave and I.
All right. I'm sure you listen to the show weekly, so I don't have to explain anything.
Every week. I'm a huge fan. I have your pictures hanging above my bathroom and my toilet.
Yes.
There's a picture of me inside your toilet.
The toilet. Yeah. Yes, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
It's exactly right. Exactly right.
You need
right.
Somewhere to aim.
Yeah. Aim game. That's,
listen, we all love games here.
Yeah. it's what it is. You need this every day. Yeah, amazing. I know. Can you just be the third, and then I'll leave, and I'll just watch the two of you?
Listen, anytime. It's hump day, baby. Let's roll. Let's roll.
That's why we picked this day.
Yeah. Damn straight.
All these crazy sexual innuendos, huh? All right. Hello, and welcome to another episode of In a Pickle, the show that is dedicated to the less glamorous side of sports. I am your host, Dave Houghton. And with me today, my co-host in arms, Sarah Raitalik. Hello, Sarah.
Hello.
And we have a very, very special guest today. The host of the HILF podcast, History I Would Like to Fuck, Dawn Brody. Dawn, thank you so much for coming on to the show. Welcome to In a Pickle.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm honored to be here. I'm totally turned on. I am just a huge fan of you guys. And also this feels like sort of like a mutual high five because, it was just a couple weeks ago. I got to have your beautiful faces on my podcast and you were so great.
Yes. The Boston Massacre podcast, where we found out that Paul Revere had invented the spoon.
Dear God,
I can't stand it. Do you know what's really disgusting, too, is that I also edit my own podcast. So the number of times in real life that I've actually had to hear Dave say that he thinks Paul Revere invented the spoon, it's like exponential. It haunts my dreams. I'm going to have T-shirts made. It's too bad.
Yes, it's a drinking game now. Drinking.
I will model for your T-shirts. My face
Although,
with the spoon.
And then you and Sarah spooning. You both have the T-shirt on and you're spooning.
Or I can be the spoon.
Right? Mm-hmm.
You two can be the silverware drawer. I'll be the spoon.
You'll be the big ladle and we'll be two little spoons in your ladle.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
That's a good one.
That's fun. Yeah.
Because Paul Revere did invent the ladle.
Of course he did. All right, so we have a different type of show today. It's still sports related, but because you were on this episode, we wanted to do a game. And today we're going to play what's very fitting for you. We're going to play MFK, marry, kill.
Oh, so, my three favorite things.
Sarah and I have composed a list of three females in sports.
Oh.
And we're going to tear that ass apart. And we're going to find out at the end of the show which one you would marry, which one you would fuck, and which one you would kill.
Oh, my God. Okay, I have a sharp pencil and a notebook.
Yes. I'm not going to throw any questions at you.
Yes, no questions.
Okay. And give you points for stuff, okay? Even though I totally won that game on your podcast. Go and listen to it.
You smoked her. You smoked her. It's true.
I totally smoked. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm not denying it. I'm special.
No.
The hamster isn't even on the wheel right now, so I'm just like, meh.
I already had my t-shirt made. Health winner. That's what it is.
Ooh, well, you have to win at something because life is like, man.
Life, I failed miserably.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. So
my kids are already digging a hole in the backyard and throwing me in there. So.
Oh, well, then we'll get the t-shirt sent especially fast.
Yeah. For you. Well, I would want to be buried in it. So.
Okay, good.
Yeah. All right.
Let the kids know. He was so happy.
He was so happy when he was on the Hill podcast.
He was so proud of himself.
Went downhill. That peak. There was your peak. You climaxed right there. And then after that. Yeah.
That was my first climax. So, all right.
Can I ask a clarification? Please. Can I ask a quick clarification? Okay. Please. I murder, fuck, kill. Crystal clear. I'm keeping a note here because you're going to ask me at the end. Yes. Where these gals fall.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I might want to fuck all of them, but that's not the question. The question is, you fuck them for the rest of your life because you're fucking married. Is that?
Yes.
There you go.
Yes.
I pretty much assume that you would want to be with them all. So,
yes.
I mean, this
because
is
because wanting
where it's
to
hard.
Kill someone does not mean, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's like, I love you. I'm going to kill you. You know,
totally.
I mean, that's what marriage
I wanted
is.
To fuck a lot of people I also want to kill. That's, yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Got
Absolutely.
It. The hate fuck.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes. The hate fuck.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, fucking,
it can be
fucking
the hottest.
Oh. It's the best and worst, man.
Oh. All right. I have a pencil. I'm so excited.
I don't know. It's really hot in here all of a sudden. I'm blushing.
Mm-hmm.
Is the heat on? Did I leave the oven on? Oh, yes, I did. I'm going to put my head in it later. So,
all right.
Don, are you ready?
I am so ready. Yes.
Okay. So our first lady of the evening is Rosie Ruiz. Rosie has a history of being a fraud. Born on July 21st, 1953 in Havana, Cuba, she moved to the United States. Can you guys guess where she moved to?
Oh, I'm in
Miami.
Yes.
Yes, it's like Florida. Absolutely.
Of course it's Florida.
It's going to be Florida.
This person coming out of Florida is no brainer.
Yeah.
Okay.
No.
She moved with her family in 1962 when she was only 8 years old. Okay. So because of the move, Rosie was separated from her mother and had to live with her aunts, uncles, and cousins in Hollywood, Florida. So here's a fun fact. We like to do fun facts on the show whenever we read a story. And this is the only fun fact I did for this one. Hollywood, Florida is also the place where Joe DiMaggio went to die. So
went to die?
Yeah, like, well, he retired and went to Florida. And
oh, I get it. I thought it was like TikTok, Marilyn. Quick, get me to Hollywood.
I got to go to Hollywood. And she's like, Hollywood? And then Hollywood.
I'll get you there right away, sweetheart.
Yeah, she went on Spirit Airlines and they went to the wrong Hollywood.
fun fact. I have a fun fact. To meet you, fun fact.
Yes.
I live, of course, in the actual Hollywood, California, and my dad lives in the middle of nowhere on Hollywood Road.
Really?
He lives in the middle of nowhere, rural Wisconsin, in a little town called Nakusa, and they have Hollywood Road.
Wow.
Oh, God, that's not right.
Ooh. Coincidence? Maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So in 1972, Rosie graduated high school and then attended Wayne State College in Nebraska. There, she graduated with a degree in music in 1977. So we have a classic coming to America story, right?
Sure.
Okay. So, so far, it's okay.
I love Rosie. Rosie and I, right now, I'm seeing a future for me and Rosie,
right,
which is great.
So far, it's not too bad. So now let's go to 1978. She moves to New York City, where she would start working for a metal trading company. But that wasn't enough for her. She wanted more. So in 1979, she went and
more than a metal trading company?
That's
Get it
what
together,
I said.
Rosie.
Right. Jeez. I know. What more do you need out of life?
All right.
Right? So in 1979, she went ahead and qualified for the New York City Marathon. And she was credited with a time of 2 hours and 56 minutes and 29 seconds, the 11th woman overall, and the third fastest woman ever to qualify for a marathon. Mm. But there was a little bit of discrepancy with this, because Rosie's application for the marathon arrived after the cutoff date. But she was granted waivers from the powers that be that run the New York City Marathon because she told them that she was dying of brain cancer.
All right.
What?
Now we're starting to see some cracks.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. Hmm. Now, fast forward to April 21st, 1980. Rosie runs and wins the Boston Marathon female category with the time of 2 hours, 31 minutes, 56 seconds, becoming the fastest female to run the Boston Marathon in the history of the Boston Marathon.
While dying of a brain
of brain of cancer. Brain.
Wow.
What?
Okay. So, however, right from the jump, suspicions started to mount against Rosie. Men's winner Bill Rogers, who had just won his third straight marathon, this is before they allowed Kenyans to run the marathon, he noticed that Rosie could not recall many things that runners would know by heart, such as the intervals, the hills, the splits, the people cheering. Other runners noticed that Rosie was not out of breath or covered in sweat.
What?
They also noticed that her thighs were less lean and muscular than would be from a world-class runner, especially someone who just broke the record of most of quickest time.
Right. You didn't just run the thing. You won the thing. Right.
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 So now she would later take a stress test and release the results of the stress test, showing that her heart rate was at 76. So now most marathon runners, most female marathon runners, have a resting heart rate of in the 50s or lower. So
there's that science.
There's science right
there's
there.
There's science.
And this is 1980 science. So, I mean, you know, can you imagine today?
Right.
Well, now there's more science to running a marathon than just signing up and running. Now they have like little chips, computer chips inside your sneakers that track you from the entire place. And I think Rosie is the reason why. So besides her time of 2:31, it was that right there was very unusual because no one's ever ran that fast in the Boston Marathon at the time. She was more than 25 minutes ahead of her New York City Marathon that was 6 months earlier. Most people don't run 25 minutes faster in 6 months.
No.
When asked by a reporter why she didn't seem fatigued after this grueling race, she said, "I simply just got up with a lot of energy this morning." Something I totally would never know about. You know, I mean, I don't know, but I would say someone who may or may not be suffering from brain cancer wouldn't just get up with a lot of energy to run a marathon in 2.5 hours. But
no. And this is pre-Red Bull, so she ain't got no Red Bull wings.
That's right.
So
this is true.
That's right. Yeah. I've run 3 full marathons. It was a while ago. But I ran Grandma's Marathon in Duluth and the Chicago Marathon. And I had the little chip on my shoe, girl. But I don't know, you tend to run with the same people, especially those elite fucks that are at the very front. It's all Russians and Kenyans,
right?
And then there's a big bulk of people, and then behind them are like me, The like, you know, we're gonna finish this thing, darn it. And you know, and we live for the people with the cowbells and stuff. But you do see the same people coming in and out. I would imagine that this is like some sneaky shit. Like, that's not easy to just bop into a marathon at the front where the people around you are gonna be like, where the fuck have you been? You know?
Well, it's funny that you say that because no other runner could recall seeing her during the race.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
One runner
or pass her. You know, everybody who passes you. Yeah.
Right. So one particular runner who was leading the race at the 18-mile mark and another who was coming out at second place at the 17-mile mark said that Ruiz could not have passed them because, I mean, what else are you doing in the race besides noticing everything around you? Because there's absolutely nothing to do when you're running, right? Besides running.
I literally, I still have a memory of being passed by a runner who had on his t-shirt my 81st marathon at 81. And I watched that fuck burn me, smoke me. And I was like, fuck, man. Like, this t-shirt's probably meant to inspire, but it makes me feel like shit right now. I'm fucking 26, you cunt. You know.
When he passed you, did he turn around and just flip you off? He was like, fuck you.
Exactly. Yeah. I was like, I'm never going to have Social Security. You know.
I'm not paying any more taxes. The hell with you.
Oh, my God.
So now, so some of the female runners also thought was odd was when they asked if she had noticed about the suburbs of Wellesley while running through it. She did not mention any of the students, the college students, who traditionally cheer very loud for the first female runner as they pass campus. So they have this tunnel where it's, I think it's called the Scream Tunnel, and all of the students of Wesley and the surrounding colleges, they just scream as the runners go by. And she said, no, I didn't see any of that. So,
and Wellesley College, why they cheer so loud for the first female is because it was a female college.
Right.
So that's why they would, as the college students, would have that memory. And as a runner, you should have that memory.
Yeah.
Correct.
Huge. That's crazy. It's like in Duluth, you get to the college at the near the end of the route, and they have ladders with like hoses duct tape to them so you can run through the hose, and they're desperately trying to get you to drink a beer with them. It'd be hard to forget.
That'd be the last thing I would want to do, run 26 miles and then chug a beer while I'm doing it.
You're wrong about that, Dave. You're wrong.
Well,
about
I mean, if you had a beer
the best beers in your life.
Yeah. It's got to be the best beer ever, but I mean,
it is actually the best beer of your life.
If you had a beer,
your legs
marathon,
go from like to
I can do this. I can do this. Oh, hold on a second.
I can also dance and sing.
Yeah.
I can do this. It's fine. Is there a mile marker where somebody gives you Coke and you're like, that's it. Let's go. I'm a rocket.
Yeah. In the right city.
Yeah.
In the right city, you can get anything.
Maybe
Yeah.
Maybe in Chicago, they got that. It's the Coke mile.
Somewhere,
15th
hang
mile
a left.
Marker.
Yeah.
So after all of this, and the other runners not noticing her passing her, and the fact that she doesn't recall anything from Wellesley College, there's also she does not appear in any pictures or video footage in or around the marathon at all. So
wow.
Now, two Harvard students recall seeing Rosie burst out of the crowd of spectators on Commonwealth Ave. We call it Comm Ave, so we don't have time for long words here. Comm Ave is about a half mile away from the finish line. All right, so on top of all that, freelance photographer Susan Marrow reported meeting Rosie on the subway during the New York City Marathon and accompanying her from the subway to the race. Now, they lost touch because they were just two people meeting on the train. But after Rosie's marathon in Boston broke out, she went ahead and said something about her encounter with Rosie. So according to Susan, she met Rosie on the subway together and they walked a distance to the finish line where Rosie identified herself as an injured runner. She was escorted to the first aid station and volunteers marked down her time having completed the marathon, thus qualifying her for the Boston Marathon.
Wow.
So
what? Now, so she didn't run any of it?
She didn't run any of it.
This bitch!
Allegedly. No.
All right.
So, after Susan came out and after the whole Boston thing, New York City Marathon officials launched an investigation and could not find any signs of Rosie crossing or even near the finish line. So, on April 25th, based on this and other evidence, the Games Committee of the New York City Marathon took her title away and disqualified her from that race. So, now, a week later, the Boston Athletic Association also disqualified Rosie from the Boston Marathon.
Mm-hmm.
But if you fell in love with Rosie right now, I have more. That's not all for poor Rosie.
Okay, okay. I have notes. I've taken copious notes. I have little like question marks. Not questions for you guys. These are questions for me if I choose to commit to her. Okay.
All right. All so right, in 1982, Rosie was arrested for embezzling $60,000 from a real estate company where she worked. He spent a week in jail and was sentenced to 5 years probation. Because Florida will always Florida, she moved back to Florida,
sure.
Where she was arrested in 1983 for her involvement in a coke deal and was sentenced to 3 years probation.
All right.
January of 84, Rosie marries and has three kids.
Good for you.
But divorces 2 years later.
Sure.
So now, as of the year 2000, she still maintained that she ran both the New York City Marathon and the Boston Marathon. However, a friend of Rosie's said that she admitted a few months later that that was all bullshit and that she did not run the marathon and that she cheated. She had jumped out of the crowd, not knowing that the first woman hadn't even gone by yet. And she was shocked as anyone when she came in first.
Mm-hmm.
So, unfortunately, in 2019, Rosie would die of cancer.
Oh.
Wow.
So.
But she actually died 2 years earlier.
She was like, oh, I'm dead. Oh, no, I'm not.
I actually died in 2015. Joke's on you.
The day she died, that's she also crazy. Won a marathon. She won the Chicago Marathon.
Right. She's still running it. what a gal. I was wondering, it was so, at the end of that, it was so clarifying because I was like, this bitch definitely cheated, but like she did not mean to win that shit.
No.
You have to know that, like, but then I'm like, why cheat? Because, like, it's not like there's gazillions of dollars on the line. There's no, I mean, you have bragging rights, but it's not like that you're that. Nobody, you're not even on Good Morning America. You win.
And I don't even know.
Who cares?
I don't even know if back then, like now, I think if you win, you get some sort of prize, right? I don't know.
Yeah,
back
it's bigger now.
The winners of some, I mean, the New York Marathon, yeah, I think the big marathons there can be some money, but it's primarily about qualification for something else or, you know, competing in some kind of thing. What a bizarre thing. And not to run any of it, I get cutting out a few miles.
Right.
Wow.
Right.
It also shows, I guess, that like the one, Boston is smaller than New York coming from the suburbs out, and that at that time, our transit system worked really well in comparison to New York's.
I know.
You know, who would have thought? Yeah.
Who would have thought that a transit system would get worse with age?
Yeah.
That's nuts. Because I've only gotten better.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Okay. So now Sarah's going to take the next one. So Dawn, are you ready for this one?
I'm ready. I'm ready, Sarah. I'm going to slide carefully out of my sleeping bag with Rosie and see what you have to offer.
All right, Sarah. Take it away.
All right. The next person will be quicker because if you grew up in the 90s, then you know everything about this incident.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Yes, yes, yes. Next up on the MFK with Hilf, we have the Trailer Park Queen herself, Tanya Harding.
Fuck yeah, Tanya. Fuck yeah, Tanya.
Born on November 12th, 1970, in Portland, Oregon, Tanya started ice skating at the age of 3. Money was tight for the Harding family, so her mother would sew all of Tanya's costumes and her skate for her skating competitions. When Tanya turned 16, her parents divorced, and she would drop out of school in her sophomore year to focus on her dream of being an Olympic gold medalist.
Oh, Tanya,
That's the
you can
dream.
do it.
You
Yes.
got this, girl.
I have a feeling everything's going to be okay for her.
Yeah, she's got it. A rags to riches story. Here
Right.
we
That's right.
go. Her childhood wasn't easy, and Harding later claimed that she was frequently abused by her mother. She stated that by the time she was 7 years old, physical and psychological abuse had become a regular part of her life. Her mother later admitted to one instance where she had hit Tanya at the ice skating
One.
rink. One. One.
One.
One.
That's fine. My
She
father
wasn't
used
skating right.
to. My
Yes.
father used to beat me every day.
That's. Come
Come on. Take out the
on.
trash. No.
Boom. No big This is
deal.
not, that's not funny. I know it's not
Yes.
funny. I know it's not funny, Don. It's okay. I'm slapping my own hand.
No, it's funny.
It's
That's
funny.
just me. It's just me. It's
It
just me.
builds character.
Right.
Sure.
Yeah, it's a circle of life. Now when I tell my son to take out the trash, I do two fists.
Smart. Progression.
All right,
Yes.
that one wasn't funny. Thank you.
Fist bumps,
I
fist
don't beat my
bumps.
kids.
Fist, yay, for taking
Yeah.
out the trash. Two
Thanks.
fist bumps,
Great
buddy.
job. Actually, he charges me to take out the trash. I have to give him $10 every week. What am I
Oh,
doing with that
good
money?
for you. I'll come take out the trash at your house.
Yeah, right. So will I.
Man, jeez, wheeze. Okay, now let's fast forward and go through this timeline.
Yes.
On January 6, 1994, one day before the US Figure Skating Championship ladies singles competition, Nancy Kerrigan was attacked in a corridor after a practice session in the Detroit Cobo Arena. The aftermath of the attack was recorded on a news camera and broadcasted around the world. And there is where we get. Why?
Greatest footage ever.
Oh, so great.
Why? Oh, I love it.
Could you imagine now, like, poor Nancy, because that's what we think of instantly now when we discuss
Right.
Nancy.
It's not the gold
Yeah.
medal she won or any of the Olympic
She didn't win a
trophies.
gold medal, she won a silver.
Maybe she won a gold medal
Oh,
in the Detroit area or something.
gold
She didn't win
medal. Was
any
this like the
gold.
first viral? Do you feel like before viral, that was like the first viral video?
It has to
It
be,
has to
right?
be.
Of just like
Yeah.
a moment of a person at their worst, just being like on a loop. I can't think of
Right.
anything else pre-94.
No, because that would be that and like the OJ, the Bronco.
Well, and then there
Right.
was oh Jesus Christ. Rodney King.
Oh. Yeah,
Right?
so it's all in
Yeah.
this time
It's all in this
90s.
time period.
Yeah,
Yeah,
and
right.
early
Everyone's got it. The
90s. cameras, it was because cameras and,
Right.
crazy,
Just
crazy.
showed how much we loved awful things.
Yeah.
Just watching each other, just slow moving. Look at that.
Oh,
Yuck. Yeah. Look at this.
let's take a throwback
Yuck.
to the HILF episode of The Challenger, though. That was very
Yes,
viral in
that
86 when the Challenger
was.
exploded.
That's true. But that I would say, you're right, but that was the news cameras were already on it. 'Cause like
Oh, that's
JFK's
true.
assassination, do you know what I
That's
mean? Like if it
true.
was already
Oh,
news,
and the JFK assassination. That's wow.
but I feel like for this, it was just sort of like, oh, a candid, like
Right.
we caught this thing happening and now everyone's like, ugh.
Right.
Oh, that's
Yeah, that's a good
interesting,
point
man.
because Kennedy assassination, the news was there.
Challenger, the news
Challenger, the
was
news was
there.
there.
Challenger. There
All
was
this
some
stuff.
Vietnam stuff too. Yeah. That would have been, I don't know if viral counts, but on a loop,
But
just that
this
boring,
got
boring
voice.
the image.
Yeah.
You have, people have the like series of images memorized like a song,
Right. Right. Also,
Yes.
this
How
is
we
like the
all throw our
first.
head back the same way and go,
Yeah.
Yeah, this is like the first time like you have something like like concrete where you could, for lack of better words, make fun of, where it's like, you know, why? I mean, you couldn't do anything with the other stuff. Well,
maybe it's wrong. That the camera could simulate you being there, because maybe what made it different, you know, with the news thing was like, of course, we've seen it on the screen and our memory is seeing it on a screen. Whereas things like Nancy Kerrigan felt like I was in that crowd, you know, like I was being jostled and I was standing there and I happened to be lucky enough to catch this, you know, maybe I don't know. Maybe that is something.
Because if you look at the angles, too, where everything is, the camera is just happened to be there and is going through people, so you have people where that are in the shot,
right?
So
it is POV.
So that's it.
And you and me and that guy would not have been in a corridor after a rehearsal for any other reason versus like Lee Harvey Oswald, where, you know, this is the guy who allegedly shot the president walking to the court hearing and suddenly being shot. And that was similar, like through the crowd and kind of jostling, but that was still news. We were going to watch this anyway. Everybody's watching this anyway. Right. Oh man, you guys, I love this stuff.
Well, the guy doing the hitting was Shane Stant. He was contracted to break her right knee. He turned himself into the FBI in Phoenix on January 14th. Stant and his uncle Derek Smith were hired for the assault by Harding's ex-husband Jeff Galooly and her bodyguard Sean Eckhart. After failing to find Kerrigan in Massachusetts, like seriously, like they came here and were like, "We're gonna find you. We're gonna find you. You failed." Know what
the funny part is, I know where Nancy Kerrigan is right now.
Right. You know, see her at least once every couple months.
She lives in Stoneham, which is like 35 minutes away from where I am right now. It's like,
it's 15 minutes from where I am.
Yeah, she's probably...
Have you ever tried to get a whack at her leg? She's
only at the Whole Foods.
Yeah, exactly.
Be like, Nancy, come on, man. You should be ready for these, girl.
I take one of the Slim Jims out of the pack and I was like, Nancy. And then she'll do, and I'm like, selfie.
That's how you go viral.
Yeah. So since they didn't find her in Massachusetts, Stant had taken a 20-hour bus trip to Detroit.
Oh, God. This is a thousand other things I'd rather do than take 20 hours to Detroit on a bus.
Can you imagine being on a bus 20 hours and at the end of it, you have to be in Detroit?
Right.
Ugh. Right. Oh, my gosh. Especially on a Peter Pan that probably had pee and fire somewhere in it. Mm.
I'd rather get my knees taken out by some big dude in an ice skating rink. Jesus.
I just had a vision of your knees being taken out and then you ending up on your knees and then getting face fucked by a big dude.
Oh my God, that's prison.
I don't know why I went there, but my brain.
It was vivid.
I told you.
You painted a vivid picture.
Dawn, you bring out the absolute sexiest than Sarah, I guess.
I'm humbled as a history fucker. I am humbled. I am impressed.
Well then. It's been a day, folks.
That's how we're gonna do it. I just want to see you get face fucked by a big guy.
That's all I can picture. Don't blame me for being imaginative.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for coming.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
I'm glad to be here. Oh, it was a joy. It was a joy. Thank you so much for having me. Bye, guys.
Hey, you know, at least the hamster is kind of on the wheel now.
Yeah, a little bit.
Sure.
It's a little dangerous when it's on there.
At least one paw. One paw it's like, is doing this. Yeah. Uh-huh.
The coffee kicked in.
Did it, though?
Well, I don't know. I mean, do you have any mugs? Dawn, side note, Sarah threw a toaster at her husband this morning because he was using her favorite coffee mug.
What? You threw the toaster at him? Jesus.
It was a rough... There were no clean mugs and I really needed coffee and he was drinking out of it.
I hope it was plugged in because
Don't,
it
was
actually
in the
sort of
bathtub.
Bounced back.
He was in the bathtub.
He was taking a bath.
I was like,
yeah,
bitch, don't use my coffee mugs for anything that isn't coffee.
Girl, that's why he's texting you now, because he is dying. There is blood loss.
We had a good run.
So sorry.
Sorry, I think I've been electrocuted.
Please,
in the
baby. Please, baby, let me call 911. Please, baby, I'll never.
Can you please shut the power off?
No.
By the way,
I'll start drinking tea, I swear to God.
No. He's drinking water. He was drinking water. I just needed my coffee. A girl needs her coffee in the morning. Jeez.
Well, if you go to our merch store, you can get an IAP radio mug.
Hey-o.
Delivered right to your house. All right.
Or a toaster thrown at your head.
Or a toaster.
I'll just come to your house and throw a toaster at you regardless if you'd like. It's no big deal.
There is a Patreon tier. There's a Patreon tier where you get a picture of Sarah's feet. And then for just $5 more a month, she'll come to your house and throw a toaster at you.
For only $5 more, you can get Sarah to come to your house. Chuck a toaster at your head while you drink coffee with your family.
Exactly. And I will I will provide the toaster. You don't even have to provide it.
Oh, wow.
What a service.
Exactly.
For $5 extra. Take my card.
You know, I'm here for the people to give them the experience. All right. Well, we show up in Detroit. Woof. And Nancy Kerrigan, you know, she was walking behind a curtain when Sant rushed behind her, and using both hands, he swung a 21-inch baton at her right leg, striking her above the knee. The attack was intended to seriously injure Kerrigan so that she couldn't compete in the national, because Kerrigan was the defending champion, and this would also stop her from competing in the Winter Olympics. However, Kerrigan's leg was not broken, but just severely bruised, forcing her to withdraw from the championships and forego competing to retain the U.S. ladies' title.
You know what's funny? Mm. This big dude, right?
He spends aim.
Yeah, he spends 20 hours on to Detroit. He's like, you know, however big he is, and then he misses his target, and she just gets a bruise, not a broken leg.
A bruise. Like, you went 20 hours to Detroit to give someone a bruise.
Were you tired? Is that why? Because instead you should have just flew.
Yeah.
I mean, if they're paying you, why not just fly? Are you trying to, you're cutting costs. And then because you cut costs and bought a bus ticket for, you know, $15 instead of a $50 plane ticket back in the 90s. See what happened? You missed. So
you missed. Maybe you could have woken up in that nice hotel room after you flew there, do some push-ups.
Right.
Get yourself prepped for
maybe
the job at hand.
Maybe practice with your baton or something, you know?
Like opera singers have to warm up, man. Everybody's got to prepare for the job they have.
Right. And this guy failed.
He did not
prepare. What a loser.
Missed. Idiot. On January 8th, Harding won the U.S. title. She and Kerrigan were both selected to the 1994 Olympic team. On January 11th, Harding was interviewed in Portland, Oregon, and was asked whether someone she knew could have planned this attack. Harding replied, "I've definitely thought about it." And in the interview, when the interview had ended, Harding had said, "No one controls my life but me. If there's something in there that I don't like, I'm going to change it." Harding also confirmed she had spoken with the FBI agents in Detroit and again in Portland.
I'm sorry. One thing that's super funny, and I know we just made the joke about it. He hits Kerrigan on the 6th. On the 8th, she's okay and qualifies for the Olympics. That's how light of a feather touch that he has.
Right.
Like
pussy.
Like, wow.
Legit.
What a pussy.
I mean, I know Kerrigan's from Massachusetts and she's fucking tough, dude. But I mean, Jesus, you hit her so light. And now that I think of it, for a 2-day bruise, was that why warranted? That seems like
thank
a
you.
Now.
Maybe you know. That was what she was asking. Why so light? Why did you hit me harder? Why?
Why did you
why
hit
are
me
you
with
such
a
pussy?
Pillow?
I think we should reenact this and see how this goes.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
I'll play Nancy Kerrigan.
Yes. I was like, yes. Yes.
Yeah, you're why. Everybody knows your why was the most convincing.
Yeah, you do. You have that E.
Well, I scream it every day when I wake up. Why?
Why?
My daughter's doing it now. She's in the next room saying, why?
Why? Yeah.
Oh boy. Look what I created.
Oh, congratulations. So proud. So proud.
Fuck. On January 13th, Eckerd and Smith were arrested. Game changer.
Yeah. Yep.
On January 14th, the United States Figure Skating Association had made a statement on whether Eckerd's arrest affected Harding's Olympic placement. They stated, "We will deal only with the facts." Harding and Galluli's separate lawyers had confirmed the couple were in daily contacts and cooperating with law enforcement. On January 15th, Harding and Galluli spoke with reporters but declined to comment about the investigation. On January 16th, Harding's lawyers held a press conference in which he read a statement denying Harding's involvement in the attack on Kerrigan. On January 18th, 1994, Harding was with her lawyers when she submitted to questioning by the DA and FBI. She was interviewed for over 10 hours. 8 hours into the interview, her lawyer read a statement declaring her separation from Galluli. I continue to.
She was divorced.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm like,
she
here.
She was divorced.
Let me,
you know what? I'm in this room
I'm
for
also
10 hours.
Separate.
Yeah. I'm separated. I'm done. Right on. We're going to just divorce here. We're done. Like, we're doing it.
We're all good. So, are you still with Mr. Galluli? No, I actually broke up with him an hour ago while in this room.
Yeah.
Yes. Just done.
He used my fucking mug. That fucking guy.
I threw a toaster at him and we called it quits.
Threw a toaster. Just left a bruise though. Fuck.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh my god.
Oh, beautiful.
Let me quote what her lawyer had said. So get those quotations up. Boop,
boop. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So this is on behalf of Tanya. "I continue to believe that Jeff is innocent of any wrongdoing, and I wish nothing but the best." I'm sure you do.
Because
bitch.
If he gets fucking caught, I'm fucked.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
I hope please leave him alone, because the trail leads directly to me.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's why now I'm cutting the cord, and I'm, you know, wishing him the best. And hopefully he gets nothing but the best, means go to Mexico.
Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's like bless your heart in the South. Yeah.
Yes.
Have a great summer. Love.
Hopes and dreams.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously. Her full FBI transcript was released on February 1st. The Seattle Times reported on the transcript stating that Harding had changed her story well into a long interview. After hours of denying any involvement and trying to cover up the plot, an FBI agent finally told her that he knew she had lied to him, and he would tell her exactly how she had lied to them. In the transcript's final passage, Harding stated, "I hope everyone understands I'm telling on someone I really care about. I know now Jeff is involved. I'm sorry."
Ooh.
I mean, for 10 hours, you would admit to anything. I would admit to crucifying Jesus Christ himself.
Mm. You know? 6 hours in. I'm. Yeah. What do you need?
Well, shit, 45 minutes.
What do you
want to
hear? I was going to say 45
it's lunchtime.
Minutes.
Let's go.
Jesus.
Yeah.
What do you need to know?
I'll start sobering up 4 or 5 hours into anything and be like, what do you want?
What do you want? I did that. I did the Kennedy assassination. I even shot Lincoln. Who knows?
Yeah. I'm going to kill somebody on my way out of here. Who's next?
Right. Well, for me, it all depends on what snacks you're going to provide me is where my timeline is.
Yeah.
If you're going to give me great snacks, I'll be there all day and just beat around the bush. But if you're going to take snacks away from me, shit, everyone's going down.
Oh,
and then I'll set myself on fire.
Yeah.
So at least it doesn't get too out of hand.
Right. Everything's just calm.
Never.
Yes.
At least it's a typical sandwich. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It's no big deal. On January 19th, Gullooly surrendered to the FBI. Dun dun dun. On January 20th, Diane Sawyer asked Harding on primetime about the case. Harding said she had done nothing wrong.
Word.
And I had to go back and I was like, oh my God, I remember that interview. And Diane's face is like,
Nothing.
you sure,
Did you do anything
bitch?
wrong?
Did you,
Really?
bitch? What's
Nothing.
happened?
Seriously, bitch. And Tanya's like, I know people, bitch. Don't fuck with me. Like, yeah, I did
Yeah,
no
nothing.
wrongdoing. Take you
Be like, you
out.
did pick that shirt, though, didn't you, Tanya?
Yeah.
Yuck. Do you feel great?
Yeah, she's the best. On January 27th, it was reported Gullooly had been testifying about the attack plot since January 26, possibly implicating Harding as an alleged assistant.
All his snacks were taken away. He was like, Tanya
Yeah,
did it.
that's right.
Damn straight.
That's right. You want these Cheetos,
Are those hot Cheetos?
I have a 5-year-old. It's not much more complicated than that.
Right.
Harding later held a press conference to read a prepared statement. She said she was sorry Kerrigan was attacked, and she respected Kerrigan and claimed not to have known in advance of the plot to disable her. Harding took responsibility for failing to report the assault when I returned home from the Nationals, is what she had claimed. Yeah, I'm sure, bitch. On February 1st, Gullooly's attorney negotiated a plea bargain in exchange for testimony regarding all involved parties in the attack. In July, he was sentenced to 2 years in prison and publicly apologized to Kerrigan.
What's
That's
more
terrible.
embarrassing?
Yeah, missing the knee, planning the
Yeah.
attack, apologize.
Oh,
Like,
I'm sorry.
sorry, babe. Sorry, babe.
Sorry about that.
My bad.
Didn't mean it.
I'll be friends forever.
BFF.
BFFs.
In February 1994, Harding was permitted to remain a member of the U.S. Olympic ice skating team despite the controversy. At the 1994 Winter Olympics in Lillehammer, I can't pronounce
Isn't it
names.
Lilyhammer? Lilyhammer.
Lillehammer? Lillehammer?
Lilyhammer? Yeah.
Lillehammer? Yeah, you know me and words and math and
Yeah, I
people
do
and
know you
things.
in swords.
I do.
Words.
Swords.
After an issue with a broken skate lace in the long program, she was given a reskate by judges and finished in eighth place behind Oksana Bayul, who would win the gold, and Nancy fucking Kerrigan would win the silver. And if we all can take a minute and reference the Rochelle Rochelle
I was
episode,
just going to talk about that Seinfeld episode.
Seinfeld
Yeah.
with a broken lace and gets me every time.
Well, one of the
Every
funniest
time.
Seinfeld episodes out there.
Ripped
Fact that it
from the
referenced,
headlines.
yeah, the fact that it just the whole thing throughout. Oh, poor Bette. Despite her USFSA ban, however, she did later compete at the professional level, placing second at the ESPN Pro Skating Championship in 1999. On March 16th, 1994, Harding pled guilty to conspiracy to hinder prosecution as a Class C felony. Her lawyer, Robert Weaver, a negotiating plea began ensuring no further prosecution. Tanya received 3 years probation, a $100,000 fine, and 500 hours of community service. Oof,
oof.
that's a dirty community.
Yeah.
We'll be
Yeah, there's a
killing.
lot. There's a lot of vests outside the highway exit ramp there.
Ooh. She agreed to reimburse the court legal expenses of $10,000 And she was also ordered to undergo a psychiatric examination and volunteered to give $50,000 to the Special Olympics.
Can you believe the fact that after it, just a month, Kerrigan goes and wins silver? Like,
yeah.
What a fail. What a complete
what a fail.
Like,
what
that's
total that,
I think
fail.
That's like the funniest part. They had this whole plot in order to sabotage Nancy Kerrigan, and then she just goes on and she's fine and she wins a medal.
And it's possible that she had just that kick in the ass you need to really go for it. Like, the irony is, with like an unbruised knee, she was like bronze at best.
Right.
But now she's got the world being like, "You go, girl!"
Yeah,
you know.
You got the, she got that
and a
fire
little
in her.
Range, a little revenge fire. You know, yeah,
Amazing.
Boy, huge, huge fail.
Kick in the ass. Don, are you ready?
Yes.
For our final woman.
I am ready. I
Do you
am
have sort of an idea where you're going in this before you hear the final woman on this list? You kind of get
I
a
do.
Good idea. All right.
I do. I have so far my two ladies aligned. I have little question marks, arrows. It's sort of a thought. If you could see my notebook, it's sort of like a conspiracy theory thought chart.
I like it.
With like lines and arrows.
Yes. That's my favorite.
Yeah.
All right. So let me introduce you to this next woman, Sally McNeil. Sally McNeil was a professional female bodybuilder, if you're into that kind of stuff.
Hot.
Okay. So Sally was born September 30th, 1960, in Allentown, Pennsylvania. Sally described her upbringing as very tough. She had a ton of exposure to violence for much of her life, so much so that she thought it was normal in everybody's home. Her father, Richard Dick, was a raging alcoholic who frequently tossed her mother a beating every single night. Sally goes to school in Allentown. She goes to high school, where she is on the swimming and diving team and also runs track and field. She enrolls in state college with aspirations of becoming a gym teacher. And if you have seen a picture of Sally, she looks like that typical gym teacher from the 80s.
That's the good news. That's the good news. Sometimes you see your stereotype and you just go, fuck, why not?
Let's lean into
However,
it.
I'm going to drive a bus or I'm going to coach gym.
Yeah.
Or maybe be like a security guard at like a power plant.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes,
a nuclear
yes.
power plant.
This is me.
Just,
yeah.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely. And she could have had it all there. So now, while in college, something unfortunate happens to her. She spends 3.5 years in college, but unfortunately runs out of money and is forced to drop out.
Oh, painful.
I don't know. I mean, she could have maybe got a job, but I don't know. I don't know.
Who knows?
But because she left school, she went ahead and joined the service and became a Marine.
Sure.
Where
All right.
She rose to the ranks of sergeant.
Great.
She met her first husband, Anthony, at Paris Island while in the Marines, and they were married for 4 years and had two children together. Sally described Anthony as being abusive towards the end of their marriage. So Sally would file for divorce, winning custody of their two oldest children. During the divorce, she went ahead and had a third kid with another man.
All right.
But that one was put up for adoption.
Okay.
So she's still in the service. She's in the Marines. She would go on to win the U.S. Armed Service Physique Championship twice in the
1980s. Oh, really?
Yeah. So she's doing it. So now, in 1990, Sally was demoted from her position as sergeant for continuously poor behavior, including anger issues, Sarah, violence, and lashing out at others.
It happens.
It happens. It happens.
It just
all the
happens.
Time. In my house, it happens once a month. Thanks, Don.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for that. I appreciate the laughter. Her behavioral record also is a result of her being discharged from the military. So a little bit of attitude got her kicked out of the Marines, which is weird because I thought they wanted like someone like just absolutely out of their tits, you know?
Well, if it's dishonorable discharge, there's always a little bit more behind it too. So there'd be like sealed documents where you can't go a little bit further into the discussion of a dismissal.
Right.
So if it's a dishonorable discharge.
Maybe she beat the shit out of one of her higher uppers. I don't know. So Sally started bodybuilding during her service at Camp Pendleton, where a friend introduced her to Ray McNeil, another competitive bodybuilder. In June of 87, they dated for maybe about 2 months. And then they decided, hey, what the hell, let's get married. So 3 days later, after the marriage, Ray began abusing Sally and her two children.
Fuck.
Sally was choked and punched by Ray almost daily.
Oh, yeah. Sally.
When Sally was discharged from the military, she began a career wrestling men on video for $300 an hour, earning her the name Killer Sally.
Yeah.
Because of this, she made enough money to get to leave Ray and start her own bodybuilding career.
All right.
But because love is love, she stayed with Ray for a little bit longer. They began working out together and they wanted to become bodybuilders together.
Ooh, great.
But Ray started using steroids. And that's what Sally blamed for his violent behavior. She loved him so much that she would even go to Tijuana with her children to buy steroids for Ray. She later admitted that this wasn't the proudest moment of her life, and she considered it bad parenting.
I would argue, cannabis is legal here, and I will sometimes bring my daughter with me to like pick up where they like run out to the parking lot and drop off your cannabis in the car. And they're so nice. But this is nice. They bring her a sucker. Not with cannabis in it. Oh, it's a regular, you know, but it's like, you know, the bank used to do where they're like, if it's a dog, they bring a little dog treat. Right. Yeah. And they always say, there's no drugs in this. And give
no drugs in this. But she will sleep well tonight.
Yeah. 99. Nice drive home.
So during this time, Ray would go on to win the heavyweight the heavyweight title in 1991. He was Mr. California. And it was part of the IFBB North American Championship. And he competed in the 1993 Mr. Olympia Championship, placing 15th. Okay. He also began participating in professional wrestling, and he even did stand-up comedy.
Oh. And I bet he was very, very funny.
Yeah. He would do most of his material for free at the comedy club in San Diego.
Okay.
Are you familiar with that place, Dawn?
I am not. I have not. I've been to San Diego. I've not had the pleasure of performing. But if they're offering me no money, I'll go right
away. Yeah,
right,
let's go.
I'll go right now. Yeah.
So one night, Ray got into an altercation with another man while he was working as a bouncer at a nightclub and ended up sticking his finger through the man's eye. Sally's daughter later spoke about that night to verify this, as she recalled seeing Ray come home covered in blood and how he told her that he did it because the other man was trying to kill him. So he just ripped this dude's eye right out. So obviously we know Ray has roid rage. And doesn't seem like he's that funny. I don't know, though. I don't know.
I don't know. Anger can be hilarious if properly.
Anger, trauma, all that stuff. It's
all
great.
Right. So during all of this, Sally's hot love for Ray, the fact that Ray's just out of his mind, totally ripped a guy's eye out, does really stand up for free.
Well, I mean, I'm loving this guy. Can I marry this fucking guy?
Well, Sally finds out that Ray has been dating another woman the entire time that they've been together. So Sally does whatever self-respecting woman does and leaves him.
Sure.
According to a friend of the couple, Ray actually planned to spend Valentine's Day in 1995 with the other woman and not Sally. Ray apparently even told his friend that he would tell Sally about ending their relationship. His friend was a bit concerned and warned him about the shotgun they had in their house, saying that she might shoot you if you break up with her.
But I don't know Sally very well. I think she might shoot him. I just met her. Yeah.
But Ray just laughed it off and said, nah, you'll be fine. Everybody will be fine. So now Sally was arrested in 1990 for brandishing a firearm and smashing the window of Ray's vehicle with a metal bar. So now Sally is pissed off about everything that Ray has ever done.
Why?
Why didn't it's a good thing she didn't come after Nancy. Right.
Yeah, I was going to say, why didn't Galooly hire him?
Sally would have ripped off Nancy Kerrigan's leg.
She would have smashed her head, would have rolled onto the ice.
Right?
Yeah.
So now, Sally had been arrested previously for assaulting a mailman who had slapped her son after he tried to fight the mailman's son. So now, Sally's got a little bit of roid rage, too, going on.
Oh, no. Kind of mini mailman following your dad around, though? This is I need to know if it was while he was delivering the mail or if this is one of those stories where their profession is in it for some reason. It happened at a grocery store, but because it was a mail, you know what I mean?
I deliver mail to your house. Your son hit my son.
Smack. If it was Dawn, a Sagittarius, drove her car into a tree, it's like, what cares? Was that stupid?
Wait a minute, what?
What? Who cares? Yeah.
So now, Sally, who is just out for justice for everyone, she attacked one of Ray's girlfriends at a bodybuilding show, pinning her to the floor and hitting her repeatedly. This resulted in the National Physique Committee suspending Sally for the rest of the year. It is thought that she also physically took her anger out on her husband, pulling a gun on him for the first time before being pepper sprayed by an officer. So now she went up to Ray's house and pulled the gun on him, said, I'll kill you if you leave me.
Yeah.
The cops came, sprayed her. I'm sure she lifted the cop's car over her.
Yeah. Sally. Yeah. The cops were like, oh my God, cover me. Cover me. Whoa. I'm going to spray her. Jesus. Yeah.
Sally took the spray and put it on like some French fries and just started eating the peppers.
Yeah. Fries. Yeah. Right. Just like freshened her breath with it and then threw him over a building.
She's like She-Hulk. Amazing. So now in 1993, Sally was confronted by the club's bouncer for dancing on a table. Drunk and not wanting to do what she was told, Sally kicked him in the face 3 times. When police arrived, she threatened to kill them all.
Okay.
Now I'm asking everyone who's listening to the show, including the two of you women, go and look at a picture of Sally. She would rip your skull out of your skin just by looking at you.
I've actually seen a picture of Sally. She's shaped like a triangle.
Yeah. Yeah.
She has that, like, she has that super V. Yeah. She's yeah. Tree trunk beast. Arms.
Yeah. Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Scary.
Yeah.
Scary. Mm.
Okay. So now fast forward to Valentine's Day.
Oh.
This is our lover show. Fast forward to Valentine's Day, 1995. Sally called 911 telling them, I just shot my husband. Because he just beat me up. Earlier in that night, Ray was on a date with a fellow member of Gold's Gym.
Sheesh.
Instead of Sally on Valentine's Day, like he said he was going to do anyway. Sally was about to go out and find where Ray was, but he turned up after 9:15. He came back home. I'm sorry. Sally claimed that he maintained that she shot Ray in self-defense when he spurred into roid rage and began choking her out after she accused him of adultery, even though they were already split up, but they weren't officially divorced.
Right.
But they were still separated.
Okay.
So now the police transcript reads that Ray slapped her, pushed her down on the floor, and started choking her. Sally squirmed away and ran into the bedroom and took her sawed-off shotgun out of the case that was in the closet. And then she shot Ray twice, once in the abdomen and once in the jaw. Yes, please, Sarah.
Okay. So, no. She definitely, this was premeditated, because if you're being choked out, you're in a fisticuffs with your separated spouse, and you squirm away and get into the other room and have to go into the closet and then get out the case and then open the case and then make sure that there's bullets in there because you don't know if it's loaded or not.
So it's funny you say that, because the police actually thought the same thing, and Sally was arrested, and her bail was set at $100,000. But because she was so loved by the wrestling community and the muscle community, they started a little GoFundMe, and they got $100,000 and bailed Sally out.
All right.
But now Sally goes to trial, and everything was not as it seemed. The evidence just kept piling up during Sally's trial. There were questions in the story that she had given, including her body language during the initial police interview, had kind of said the story that was going on. Now, the trajectory of the rounds fired into Ray, one of them must have been fired while he was still on the floor. The blood splatter that was all over the living room lamp was also in a different kind of pattern than what she previously described. No DNA of Sally's was found on Ray. So even if she was fighting him off, there would be some scratch marks or something. So that eliminated any kind of forensic evidence to back her story up. So in 1996, she was convicted of second-degree murder and sentenced to 19 years to life. Sally was granted parole by the California Department of Corrections in May of 2020. So now, done.
She's welcome to there. COVID.
She's out there. And she's in your state. Boy. Now, knowing all three of these lovely, lovely women.
Tell us, good.
Who would you marry, fuck, and or kill?
Oh my God. Well, let me say, first of all, what a buffet of fuckability you have laid before me today. I feel like all these worthy ladies are just stretched out under glass and on a bed of kale, just waiting.
It's like when you go to Amsterdam and you see the red light district and all the girls are in the window.
And you're so like, blonde, redhead. Yeah. It's absolutely. Okay, so Rosie Ruiz, our fraudulent marathon runner. I definitely have to kill her. I don't want to fight. Here's what I wrote first. Before I even knew the other two, part of my notes, I said not fuck circle. Because I think there's a lot of bad guys. You know what I mean? Like, you can be bad, you can be a lot of things, and like, but like, I don't want to fuck a fraud. You know, like, I feel like you're either going to fake an orgasm or you're going to, I'm not going to feel like you're with me. We're both doing this together. You know,
after you fall asleep, you wake up the next morning, your wallet's missing from the nightstand.
Come on.
You know, she's gone.
Yeah, even if it's the best fuck of your life. Yeah. Right. Something's coming. Yeah, no. So Rosie Ruiz, I don't like liars and cheaters, even if they have a good life. So I'm going to go ahead and kill Rosie Ruiz.
I like that. That's a good one.
Thank you. And I know that, you know, there's only three, so there's not much mystery here, but I'm definitely fucking Sally. I wrote fuck right when you started, because I've seen the image of Sally, killer Sally. And I'm really super straight. Don't get me, you know, I love, I think women are very soft and nice to kiss. But if I'm fucking, as Matt, you know, those shoulders, I can crawl up on there. Like, I can make this work for me. Plus, she served a little time. I think that that can do nothing but good things for me and Sally in Fucktown. And traumatized. Love it. Yeah. And Tanya, absolutely, I'm signing on the dotted line with Tanya. I feel I think she'd also be a good fuck. Like, I think that, you know, if I only get one fuck, I want to fuck Sally. But a lifetime of fucks, I think Tanya, I'm not going to lie, the I, Tanya movie is influencing me to some extent.
Is that only because Margot Robbie was Tanya?
Margot Robbie. Yeah. I mean, she's so, you know, I liked Margot Robbie. I do, though, think that if you think about Margot Robbie and I, Tanya, and then Margot Robbie and Barbie,
right,
you can sort of appreciate the power of, like, toner. That's the same woman. You know what I mean?
And taking a shower.
Right.
Taking a conditioner. Because, like, she is still, like, an Olympic skater with, like, a hot body that happens to be the hot body that is Margot Robbie. And you're just like, ugh, like, dry hair and just patchy skin. And then you're like, ooh, Barbie, hot. Like, that was older. It's an older version of her. God bless the chemical industry. So yeah, I'm killing Rosie, I'm marrying Tanya, and I'm fucking Sally, and with
beautiful
gratitude and vigor. Wow.
That's great. I love it. This was great. Thank you.
That
Thank
was
you so
a
much.
Really yes. fun. Wow. You guys, what a dream, and what generous lovers you are on this Valentine's Day.
Well,
to bring history and three fucks right to me. That is so kind. I need a cigarette and a shot.
I'm gonna try to lift my car up and see if I can outlift Sally. She is out there. She's available.
Eyes are open. I suspect that Sally's hard to miss.
Yeah.
Even if she's
absolutely.
Even if she's settled down, I bet you pass.
No, but I mean, she spent time in prison.
Know it.
You know, she was in prison from 96 to 2020. I mean, she's got to be more ripped than ever.
And can you imagine they let Sally out in May of 2020, girl? That was like height of the pandemic. They were like, good luck, bitch.
Well,
you know,
because she probably just punched COVID right in the face. Like, COVID ain't coming to me. She's just punching the air. She's like,
Can you imagine you were the one who had to give Killer Sally her vaccine?
Oh my God. You know how many needles she must have broke?
On this just meat slab of an arm.
They would just put the needle in there and it would just break off. Like, I don't know how
to do this. It's like a javelin.
Yeah.
I still keep going back to the table at the bar and her dancing on the table.
Right.
Kicking that guy three times in the face. That's
just,
one, two, three.
One, that table must have been concrete.
Oh my God.
To like withstand her moving and dancing on it. And then was this some like Steven Seagal shit kicking in the face? Like was she on the floor kicking, or was she on the table kicking? Was there a judo chop too? Because I really want a judo chop in there. But
in my mind, she was dancing on the table and the bouncer came up to her and said, you got to get off the table. And she was on the table and kicked him, you know? And then
in my mind too, it was Patrick Swayze was the one who asked her.
Yeah.
To get off the table. Real and house. Yeah, she kicked him in the face three times, but then he got her, you know.
Right.
I have a whole plan. Yeah. I've seen Roadhouse a lot of times.
It's a fantastic movie. I mean,
that's a great movie, right?
Great movie. Great movie.
All right, Dawn, thank you so much for coming on to our show. We so much appreciate this. This
so
was
much.
Absolutely phenomenal.
Thank you. I'm such a fan of you guys, and this has been so much fun. Thank you for having me.
Please. We couldn't have done this show. I can't picture doing this show without you. You know,
it's so true. We've talked about it multiple times, like, we could do, and we're like, no, we always just circle back, and it's like, but Dawn. Nope.
Yeah.
We have to do with Dawn. Like, everything has to be with Dawn. Dawn.
And we've been trying to get you onto the show for a while now, and we're finally
so happy.
Are we happy?
The stars aligned. Well, it has just been, it's been a joy. I'm like, at the menage a trois of Valentine's Day 2024. Write it down. We didn't just fuck history here, friends. We made it.
So if you haven't heard the Hilf podcast, go and just listen to all of Don's episodes, all especially the Boston Massacre one, where there
it's
is
so good.
One of the most sexiest so voices on the Den Network that are on that show. So you can always find Hilf on the Deluxe Edition Network. And Don, are you doing anything else? Like, do you have anything else to promote or anything?
You know what? A new season of History's Greatest Mysteries debuted on the History Channel. I'm one of the historians on that show. So every Ooh. Now and again, it'll cut from Lawrence Fishburne to me looking very serious in a jacket saying, yes, really? The crazy thing about Tenochtitlan was that he was, you know,
Wow.
And so I'm on a few seasons of History's Greatest Mysteries. And yeah, I think it's like season 4 or 5 just debuted. So you can go check that out. And if you live in L.A., I perform stand-up comedy live around the city every week, almost every Tuesday. I'm the house MC at Flappers Comedy Club in Burbank, so you can come down and see me there.
Very busy. Well, I know what Sarah's doing this Valentine's Day. She's going to watch History's Greatest Mysteries.
My pants are tight just thinking about it.
Glass of wine, yes, some History Channel tight. Shows. Yeah.
Send right, me a done. Screen grab or it doesn't count.
Yeah, I know, right? It's not real, does it? Yeah, send you a picture of my pants right now, baby.
You're in a bathrobe.
I am in a bathrobe. I don't have any pants on.
Getting really hot in here. All right, Don. Thank you so much for coming on. Follow, subscribe, like, go to the Deluxe Edition Network and follow, like, and subscribe. Everybody on the Den Network, especially Don Hilf.
Wow. Thank you, guys.
My favorite podcast. One of the best.
This has been a Mayday Media production.